Thank you, young man. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Looking tonight at distilled doctrine. Distilled doctrine. Deuteronomy 32. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to serve you. And I pray that, as the young men just sang, that we would rise up and we would gladly serve you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. We began to look at this passage, this 43-verse song this morning. It begins in 32:1, but if you read chapter 31, verse 30, it tells you it's going to start. 31:30 says, "And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended." And then in chapter 32, in verse 43, that's the last verse of the song. It says, "Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people." And Moses came and spake all the words of this song, and Hoshea the son of Nun. So verse 44 tells you the song is ending. So it's 43 verses long. And I'd like to go back and start on verse 2 of this song, as we saw. The smorin means teaching. And in the context of church, we're talking about Bible teaching. Bible doctrine is Bible teaching. And it's important. And yet, in this day and age, it's greatly diminished, or it wasn't really the word I was thinking of, but people downplay doctrine anyway. What about that word distill in verse 2? The word distill, according to Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, means to exude, or precipitate in drops or in a wet mist. It reminds us how God watered the earth at first. It had never rained until the flood, and God watered the earth distilled. Distillation is the process of purifying a liquid by successive evaporation and condensation. So when water is distilled, you can buy distilled water in the store. And when it's distilled, the water is heated up, and the steam, instead of just going up like if you boil something on the stove, the steam just goes up in the air and evaporates. But in a distillation process, the steam, there's a cap, a cover, it boils, and as that steam cools, those droplets are deposited in another container. And so distilled water is boiling it, and then causing that steam to go back to liquid. So it's from liquid to steam to liquid, but it's a purified liquid at the end. My grandpa Rector, and his mother remarried a man, a very mean man, and it was during the days when liquor was outlawed in America, and the state police raided their home more than once looking for the still. And my grandpa had to carry barrels and barrels of water upstairs, and had to carry barrels of water for the still to make his moonshine. But his stepdad was concerned that it be a mixture that would not. Well, that's true, it does. But if he wouldn't have gotten it right, just drinking it, I mean, a little would have killed him. And so my grandpa said he always tested some out of the still. He set it on fire, and his stepdad watched the color of the flame, and he knew if it was a certain color, he was okay. But if it wasn't, then it'd be poisonous to drink, and so he would discard it. So, sadly to say, the brewery companies, you know, distill their liquors. But we're talking about something truly pure here. Doctrine, the word of God. And so notice in John 15, it's pure form. Then it's going to have a purifying effect. Now, When Bible doctrine is taught, it's not always comfortable, is it? I was talking to one of the young people this morning and about that matter, that the Bible, when we read the Bible, that's the easiest chastisement, because he told me, he says, well, I've been chastened a couple times this week. And so I told him, I said, well, you know, when I was in Bible school, one of my professors said, you know, the easiest chastisement is this right here. God speaking. I mean, usually our parents speak to us. I mean, usually they don't come at us with a club, you know. What did I do? I mean, usually they say, don't do this or don't do that. They speak first. Before discipline gets more harsh, there's always speaking, or usually someone is loving speak. It's like that kettle that's being heated, and sometimes it's not comfortable. Sometimes it gets us boiling, and it just shows our own impurities and how we need to be purified and refined. But in John 15 verse 3, now ye are what? Clean through what? The word which I have spoken unto you. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We had the carpet priced. It was about $1,000 to have the whole building cleaned professionally. And I don't know about you, but that just sounds like a lot of money to me. And so we had prayed, and we had rented little carpet cleaners that you can get at the rental. That's what we've always done. We've never had it professionally cleaned. And the problem is, though, the little cleaners would just soak the carpets, and then it started rippling. Maybe you noticed for us, but it was getting bad. The being soaked, the water was loosening the carpet, the glue in spots. And so we began to call around and pray about something that would get the carpet clean without getting it so saturated, so wet. And so checking and calling, and I was telling this problem to people. I said, well, it's like you're trying to clean the carpet with cold water, and some things you just need hot water. You need steam. And so the Lord provided, and the church was able to get a steam cleaner for a very reasonable cost, much better than what I thought we'd be able to. But as I was watching it this week, I just did a little test spot, and I was just watching the steam roll out from underneath that power head. And we talk about here, verse 3, you're clean. Now you're clean to the word which I've spoken unto you. And the word of God has that purifying effect with us. And so we need to read it. We need to meditate upon it. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5. It's the word we need. To be a clean people, we need the word. God wanted Moses to write people to have pure doctrine. He wanted them to know the truth, and he put it to a tune so they would not forget it. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and what? Cleanse it. With what? By what? The word. There it is. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a what? Glorious church. Not having what? Spot or wrinkle. They sent along some cans of spot remover, and I did a test area. And it just didn't do it. It just reminds me, it's only the blood, pure, precious blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse us from our sin stains. Only it. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Have you ever bought a garment that you really liked? You just like the garment, but every time you wash it, I mean, it looks all wrinkled. It takes a lot of work to iron it, you know. I mean, in this day and age, we're not used to having to iron things, you know, just throw them in the water. But the Lord wants a church that's pure, without spot or without wrinkle. And how do we get that? Verse 26, with the washing of water by the word. In a church situation, in different services, you have all different students, if you please. And remember what the liquid state pictures in the Bible. We're talking about heating them up, causing it to go from liquid to gas to steam, and then distilling that steam, that gas, back down into a pure liquid state. But the Bible pictures the fallen, carnal, sinful state. Notice in Genesis 49. That's why it needs to be heated up. That's why the Bible is pictured as silver purified 7 times. It's liquefied. The impurities come to the top. The impurities are drawn off and then heated up again. So Genesis 49, it's in that liquid state that the impurities show up. Genesis 49 and verse 3. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. And then he says, what's the first word of verse 4? Unstable. Unstable is what? Water. Thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Reuben had gone into one of his dad's concubines. And so Jacob is on his deathbed. Can you imagine this? Your dad is on his deathbed, and he calls all of you and your siblings in. And he looks at you and says what he just said to Reuben. Wouldn't you like to crawl in a hole somewhere? I mean, he said this in front of everyone. What a horrible thing. But that's what happened here. But he tells his son, you're unstable as water, verse 4. So if I poured water here on the pulpit, where would it go? Down. It'd go down. How far down? Okay, as far as it could go. If I kept pouring it, the carpet would soak up a lot. But eventually, it'd be at the lowest level. And if I kept pouring it, it'd go out the doors. And it would find the lowest level wherever. And that's what water, he said to his son, verse 4, unstable as water. Reuben, you're unstable as water. Reuben, you sink to the lowest level, the lowest point. How could you go up and defile my couch? How could you go up to my concubine? Reuben, what was wrong with your thinking? Yet that's what he did. So when Bible doctrine is faithfully given, and, you know, in today's atmosphere, like Promise Keepers did not want pure Bible doctrine being taught. They just wanted to rev up the men. They only wanted to hold them in. Don't talk about doctrine. They told them, doctrine divides. Love unites, but doctrine divides. Well, how are you going to purify this group of men if you don't? Notice with me in Acts chapter 3. So when Bible doctrine is faithfully given in a church service, if there are lost in the service, it will bring them to the place of boiling. It'll bring the lost to the boiling point and cause them to lose their liquid state. You follow what I'm saying? If we give them the pure word of God, it will bring those lost hearts to the boiling point where they'll see their need and they'll leave that liquid state. They'll leave that state which sinks to the lowest level. And where does steam go? Up. Okay. Steam rises. We want to take them away from that liquid state. We want to, with the word of God, the pure doctrine of the word, we want to make them boil inside, bring them to the point, see their need of change. We call that repentance, seeing that need for change. Acts 3, verse 19. What's the first word? Repent. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And then chapter 26. We just need to keep that word out there. We're living in a day where, as we saw this morning, they want to come together to play worship, or to play while they worship. Acts 26 and verse 20. Acts 26:20, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should what? Repent and turn to God and do what? Works meet for repentance. In other words, have a changed life. That is what we need to preach. So pure Bible doctrine will cause the lost, if they have a heart, a sincere heart, it will cause them to look up and look away from that liquid state, like Reuben, that is so unstable as water, to cause them look away from the immorality and the drunkenness and the tobacco and everything else that goes with the world, to look up to a higher place, to the Lord. And notice in Isaiah 45, what, when we do that, we are in danger. Isaiah 45. In our Sunday school class this morning, we did a study on the word exhort. And over mentioned the word incite was brought up. To incite means to urge, to do something. It means to strongly urge. It means, well, in insight sometimes gets people excited as well. So good or bad. But when we give them, invites them, gets them moving one way or another. Isaiah 45, verse 21. Isaiah 45, 21. Tell ye and bring them near. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. That's what we want the lost to understand. Verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. So verse 22 says, look unto me. So when we get their pot boiling, as it were, it's not comfortable. It's not a comfortable state. I had forgotten about oatmeal. Had any of you forgotten about oatmeal? Oatmeal for months. With me, it was like eggs and toast one morning and pancakes the next. And my wife said to me, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, she said something about, I haven't had oatmeal in a long time. And I haven't. So anyway, I've had oatmeal a lot lately. You know, they say it's good for your heart, I guess. But so I've been looking at a little pan many mornings, begin to boil. And when we give out the pure word of God, that's what it does. It makes people boil. It brings a purifying effect. And some people get happy when they see their sin and repent from it, and other people get unhappy. I asked the young people this morning in the class, I said, how many of you wake up happy, and how many of you wake up not happy? And some of them were honest, and they raised their hand, and they don't wake up happy. Okay, you know, if someone wakes them up, we're talking about here. So, and that's the way it is when we give out the gospel. But that can be our downfall. Make people mad. I don't want to be. But when you give out the word of God, Sometimes it's like waking up someone that you shouldn't ought to wake up in their own time, you know, or it's dangerous. But we want them to wake up. We want the lost to wake up. So in a church setting, when there's lost people in there in the crowd, we want them to wake up. And we as Christians are doctrine. Sometimes we get in a sleep. We are in these old bodies of flesh, and we need to be reminded to, as Abraham, when he was 99 years old, got perfect. Notice in Romans 7, we still have old bodies of flesh. The holiness crowd, if they would admit it, they're not so always so holy. They're just sinners. Romans 7 and verse 14. Now, probably people would say the Apostle Paul, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, people would probably say he was maybe the greatest missionary to ever live. Who knows? When we get to heaven, we won't worry about who's the greatest when we get to heaven, because it'll be the most humble people in heaven that are the greatest. So no one will be concerned about that. Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is what? Spiritual, but I am what? Carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. You may have to pinch yourself. Is this really Paul talking? The great spiritual Paul? Yes, it is. Verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth what? No good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good? He struggled. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Wow, Paul, we wouldn't have known this if you wouldn't have told us. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, what? Evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, what kind of man? Wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Verse 1 of the next chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who what? Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So our position is sinless. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been declared righteous. His blood has propitiated us. His blood is the satisfaction for our sins. That's our position. But are we walking that way? And that's his whole point. We need to walk according to our position. So church is like a one-room schoolhouse. When I was in kindergarten, we walked about a mile to school. And no, we didn't go uphill both ways, and how the old saying goes, but it was about a mile there. And it wasn't a one-room schoolhouse, though. It was a two-room schoolhouse. It only went to the sixth grade. And yes, they did back then. It did exist. But that school only went to the sixth grade. In one room was kindergarten through third grade. And in the other room was fourth through sixth, and that was it. So those was the two rooms, and there was one thing that got to share both rooms, and that was a rat. It was an old wooden building, and there was a rat. And I remember being in kindergarten, the school teacher would take a broom and go after that rat. So that was my fond memories of kindergarten. And then they closed that school down. Can't figure out why, but they did. Church, you have many grades in one room. In fact, really, church is more like homeschool. Because in a regular dedicated school, there's only people there other than they're in the grades. But in homeschool, it's really more like a church setting, because you have people that are saved. They're actually in the school of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're saved. They're in a grade, some are Christian. But in the homeschool situation, many times you have children that are not in school yet. And so that's the situation in church. When you have lost people in a service, you have people that aren't even in school, foreign term to them. It's like I was talking to you about computers. When we got the first computer, I didn't know what an icon was. When it said double click, I didn't know what that meant. And so almost everything we to a lost person that has no church background, it's all foreign to them. So you parents know how this is when you're teaching all these different grades in one house. Challenge. And so you know how it is for Sunday school teachers, for preachers. In their class, there could be people that are not saved. There could be people that have been saved for many years. You don't like being so basic, and yet you have to be basic enough to help the people know what you're talking about at all. So it's a challenge. And how do we do it? We just need the pure doctrine of the Bible. We need that distilled doctrine. That's the easiest to absorb. There's no man-made fillers. There's no man-made tradition. Brother Jeremy, when we were out calling yesterday, got into a conversation with a man that goes to a church and into steep tradition that the man couldn't back up from the Bible. But so that's what we face. And so we need something that can have a supernatural absorption right to the heart. And that's what the Bible does. And notice in Hebrews 4. You see, we're not dealing with a man-made text or subject. We're dealing with God's holy word. In verse 12, for the word of God is what? Quick. And that idea is alive. We cut to the quick. That's the idea. The word of God is quick and powerful and piercing even to the dividing asunder of what? Soul and spirit. That's farther than man's scalpel can go. And of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. None of us can discern what someone is really thinking. You know, you may have a good guess if they show it outwardly, but if they're really emotionless, you don't know what they're thinking. Your thoughts right now might be with the Mulders down by the Gulf, or I don't know if they're overlooking the Gulf. I assume it probably is, but maybe you're sitting on the water right now. Maybe you're not in Michigan at all. You're just out floating somewhere. I don't know. I can't tell by looking at your face. I don't know. But the Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And so when we give out the word of God, then that is what we really need. Jeremiah 23:29, the Lord says, is not my word like as a fire and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? In Luke 24, the men that were walking with Jesus along the road, they said, did not our heart burn? I opened unto us the scriptures. That's in Luke 24:32. So we're living in this day when people are saying doctrine divides and love unites. Well, what that really is putting man before God. What I mean is they don't want to offend anyone. And so they say love unites. Well, you know, you look at Exodus 32. That's what Aaron was like. Aaron didn't want to say anything that would stir up those people. So he took their gold and made the golden calf. But that does not bring forth a pure people. And so we need to use the word of God. Let's go back to 32. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy 32. So what we need is to give out the pure word of God. We find ourselves in a very classroom from people that don't yet know the Lord. Maybe they're children, maybe they're older people, but they're not saved. So they're not even in school yet. And milk, desire the sincere milk of the word. And maybe you have some in the classroom that so they might not, they might be in, some of them might be in reform school. Some people may be running from God. And so you're trying to reach them with hard hearts. Some of them need to be in refresher school. That's what I needed, English, when I went to Grand Rapids. They gave me a test and my English showed up. I needed a refresher course. And so I took that, and then when I got to Chattanooga, they tested me for English. Refresher course in English. Okay. I get the picture. I didn't learn my English well. So And so you have that in a church setting. You have some people that need to be taught, again, first principles of the oracles of God. So we have all different variety of situations. But in Exodus 32, too, or Deuteronomy 32, 2, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. So what we're looking at here in this verse is a total saturation. You read it, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew. It gets everything damp out there, the dew. As the small rain upon the tender herb, you know, that fine shower. I mean, it gets you soaked, but it's a fine shower. And as the showers upon the grass. So if you look at verse 2, you're talking about something that's totally saturated. Not necessarily a torrential downpour, but everything is saturated. That pictures a good soaking. And notice with me in Acts 20, that's what we need as Christians. We need a good soaking. Now, some people may say we need a good thrashing. But in Acts 20, we need a constant good soaking. Acts 20. That's what Deuteronomy 30 is, a good soaking of doctrine. Acts 20, excuse me, verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you what? All the counsel of God. We need that good soaking. How do we do it without offending people? We've got people that aren't even saved in the classroom. We've got people that are newly saved. We got people that are in the midst of their years. We have people up in years. What do we do? We just have to give the whole counsel of God. We've just got to soak the building, soak the listeners in the Word of God, the pure Word of God. Notice also in Matthew 28. That's what the Lord told us to do, that if we're not giving out the pure Word of God. Sometimes people ask the question, say, well, can someone get saved through the NIV? Well, sure, they can hear the gospel through the NIV. But what you can't do is give them the whole counsel of God from the NIV, because it's not all there. Some of it's gone. And notice God's instructions for us here in Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, heaven and an earth, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to what? Observe all for I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So Paul said, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. The Lord here gives us our marching order, things whatsoever I have commanded you. So never believe the lie that doctrine divides. Doctrine purifies, is what it does. What doctrine does is distills the whole atmosphere. Pure Bible doctrine distills the atmosphere. It causes things to be purified. So whether it's a lost person, if pure Bible doctrine is being given out, it's going to cause them to boil inside, and they may erupt. I mean, they may blow their top. They may say, forget it, I'm not going through the distillation process. I'm getting out of here. One guy did that years ago, back in the old church. He got mad, went down to the nursery, the basement, got his wife, and they were out the door. The problem is the door was right at the back of the auditorium, and so when someone left, you knew it. I mean, you knew it. And more of this, I don't like this process. I don't like to sit here and be boiled. And so he was out of there. He didn't like it. But as Christians, the pure Bible doctrine causes us to be thoroughly saturated and soaked. And so one last verse in 1 Timothy 4. It's pure Bible doctrine that causes us to grow. When they say doctrine divides, but love unites. What they're really saying is, I love the praise of man more than the praise of God. So not to get anybody mad, I will just anything that might offend people. Well, that doesn't help them is the problem. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the what? Doctrine them. The promise keeper says no. But God says yes. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, doing what? Doctrine. Thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's what we need, is pure doctrine. We need to be saturated with the word of God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the second verse of this song that you had Moses teach the people. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. We're living in a day where they're telling us to fill the church with good times, fill the church with games, and fun games. Lord, help us not to fall for that. Lord, help us to realize that it's the pure doctrine of your word that they need. They need that distillation effect. We all need that effect. We all need to be chastened from the word. We all need that purifying effect to make sure that we're pleasing you. We all have that war going on inside that you had Paul write about, every one of us. These old bodies of flesh are so prone to sin. And Lord, we need to be saturated with the word of God, like the dew, like the rain upon the tender herbs. So Father, I pray that you would help us to be in your word daily. And I pray that you would help in this building, which has been built and dedicated to you, that pure doctrine would go forth from here. May it never degenerate into just a time to tell stories and tickle people's ears. I pray that you would help us to see the absolute necessity of that pure Bible doctrine distilled out into get right with you. So have your way in our hearts now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.